This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. Before we get started with our guests, I do want to tell everyone about the conference that we're going to be having next month. This is the second transformation conference that our publishing company has put on, and we do it mostly to feature all of our wonderful authors. But we have just finished sending out 10,000 mail out. That's how big of a mailing list we have, and we've been working on it for 2 months, getting all of the brochures sent out to everybody on the mailing list, telling them about the conference. But if you haven't heard about it, you'll be wanting to contact my website. But the conference is the Transformation Conference. It will be June the 16th and 17th, Saturday and Sunday, at the Clarion Hotel in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And if anybody wants any more information about it, you can check on our website. The name of my company is Ozark Mountain Publishing, and that's abbreviated on the website, www.ozarkmt.com. And you can check in there for more information about the conference, or you can call our 800 number, which is 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045. And I also want to give out the toll-free number for BBS Radio, just in case anybody wants to call in tonight and ask some questions. The toll-free number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Right, but people, as I said before, say they'd rather listen than call in, so we never know what's going to happen. Okay, all right. My guests tonight are two of the speakers that are going to be at the conference. I'm trying to feature for the next month until the conference goes on the ones who will be the speakers, so you'll get to know all about them. These are two women that live up in Canada, so we're speaking to them up there tonight over on the Alberta side. And it's Susan Mack and Natalia Krawitz. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yes, you
okay.
Have.
Okay. All right. I'm never sure. My daughter kept saying I was pronouncing it wrong, so I wanted to make sure I got it right. Natalia Krawitz and Susan Mack have written a book that is at the printers right now. And we have our fingers crossed it's going to make it off the press in time for the conference. But the name of the book is called My Teachers Wear Fur Coats. And this is a different angle, so I'm going to be letting them tell you about it. But, okay, now Susan and Natalia, you're both there, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello.
Okay. We got everybody hooked up on speakerphone, so we don't know how this is going to work. Because you remember when one of you is speaking, the other ones can't talk because only one person can speak at a time on a speakerphone. Okay. And you're not in Edmonton, are you, or are you near there?
We're in Edmonton.
What?
We're in Edmonton.
You're in Edmonton. I wasn't sure if you were there or if you were right near there. Okay, and they're in Canada. All right. Now, I don't know who wants to go first, but the first thing I always want to know is the background of the people that I'm going to have on the show. You know, tell us something about yourself. Who wants to go first?
This is Susan.
Susan or Natalia?
This is Susan.
What?
This is Susan.
Okay, tell everybody about yourself, you know, all about your background and everything and how you got into this work that you wrote about. And then we'll get into what. Go ahead, Susan. You go first.
Okay. Well, I was originally in the cooking industry, and
yeah.
I was always caught between cooking and working with animals, and I eventually suffered a burnout. And when I was recovering from the burnout, I was introduced to Reiki. And. I received a lot of Reiki and decided to take the Reiki course just for self-treatment purposes. And what happened?
When you say you got burned out, it was in the cooking industry. That was what you didn't want to do anymore?
No, it was fun for many years, and then it stopped being fun.
Uh-huh. And it's time to get out then.
Yeah, and I've basically left it behind completely. No desire to go back.
Well, that's usually what happens. It's time to do something new then.
Yeah.
But I do want to tell, I forgot to say, you're talking about Reiki, is that to tell people the name of the book is My Teachers Wear Fur Coats, and it's about Reiki, but it's a different kind of Reiki, and it has to do with Reiki with pets.
Yeah.
You said you got over in... Were you doing it with people first, or what?
No. I actually just took the course to treat myself. I had no intention of doing it as a business. And then everywhere I went, the animals kept coming and going under my hands and wanting to be treated. And one day I did a self-treatment where I went very deep. And in it, I had a vision of a business card with the name Reiki for Pets and my logo and everything on it. After my self-treatment, I kept waking up during the night because it wouldn't leave me alone. And that's how Reiki for
Pets.
You're
very persistent when they want something done.
Yes. And that's how it all happened. And my life was transformed.
Well, what have you explained to people what Reiki is, in case there's some out there who don't know what it is?
Okay. Reiki.
Which one of you would like to explain that?
Natalia can go ahead. Okay.
Okay, because there may be some people that don't understand what it is.
Oh, of course. Reiki is a very gentle form of touch therapy. It works with your energetic fields, and it's a derivation or a form of the ancient method of the laying on of hands. And to use Reiki, you need to be attuned by a Reiki master who basically helps to open up the energy centers in the palms of your hands so that when you lay those palms onto some other living being, there is an energetic transfer. And most people or beings who receive Reiki report feeling a feeling of calmness, a lessening of their pain, and just a sense of inner peace as a result of receiving that.
Well, I've also heard, I have a lot of people come to me who practice Reiki, that some Reiki is not laying on the pants, but working in the aura field.
That's true. You can send Reiki by distance, which is basically a form of non-contact Reiki, where you do not have to even be in the same room as the person receiving the energy from you. And Susan and I work with both forms. We work directly with the laying on of hands onto another being, usually a being in a fur coat, or alternatively by sending it by distance, often across very vast geographical distances.
I've also heard, even if the person is in the same room, some people practice a form where they just work in the aura field. So I think there's many different forms of Reiki, isn't there?
Well, yes. I think that that there are probably as many different forms as there are Reiki practitioners, in the sense that lots of different people have different variations on the theme. But the main intent is to use it to reduce stress and to help a being heal in the fullest sense of the word.
Because I've heard of Reiki with used with people, but I had never heard of it being done with animals. That's why I was fascinated with your book and decided to print it, because of the difference there. But Natalia, tell us about your background.
Well, I came at Reiki quite differently than Susan. My background is in psychology. I have a doctorate in it, and I worked for about 20 years in the environmental area, so not at all associated with holistic health or Reiki or even the non-human world to any extent. And then in the early 1990s, a cat came into my life, and her name was Catherine Twinkletoes Rusty Ginger Kralitz McDonald. The name being
that's quite a name.
Oh, you bet. You bet. And she contacted some very unusual melodies, and the veterinarian that was attending her felt that there wasn't anything physically wrong with her, that there might be something behavioral. And at one point she said, you know, I have a mind to just tell you to go and find an animal communicator and talk to her. And little did she realize that I had already been in touch with someone who is in that area. And to make a long story short, it turned out that Catherine did indeed actually have a physical ailment, pancreatitis, which was not very well known in cats at the time. But that before we found that out, I decided that if the problems with her were more in the emotional and spiritual and psychological fields, I should, with my background, be able to kind of get some retooling and do something about it. And
you didn't think it was strange to be working with an animal rather than people?
Not at all. Not at all.
Uh-huh.
I've been very strongly bonded to Catherine. In many ways, she is the daughter that I never had. She was very much a spiritual teacher to me. She taught me a lot more about psychology and human growth, I think, than any of my professors would have ever. Just by being who she was and by showing me that even though she was not the easiest person to deal with, that we loved her dearly and accepted her for who she truly was. You know, and it was ironic because there I was, you know, taking all kinds of psychotherapy myself and having to learn how to give up worrying about whether or not anybody accepted me and just be myself. And there was my cat, who was a living example and a living embodiment of what I aspired to. But anyway, I became very interested in holistic health and animal behavior, and I developed and got credentials in that, in therapeutic touch and in Reiki and in flower essence therapy. And it was through my work in that Susan and I connected. And I was very impressed with the work that she did because she was very, obviously, very animal-focused. And even if there was a room with people, if there was one animal there, Susan would be with that animal, and that animal would be responding very much to her. It would look like the two of them, in a sense, were in a world of their own.
Well, and I was going to ask you how the two of you got together.
Well,
but
actually,
Well,
it was through the SPCA. I was giving a course in holistic health and wellness for pets, and Susan had been given a gift certificate to attend that course. And Susan walked into the room, and there were a couple of shelter mascots there, including a cat by the name of Sassy, who had an awful reputation. She hated people, and she would just as soon slice you with her claws as do anything else. And Susan went right over to her and knelt down and said hello to her very politely. And the next thing I know, Sassy was purring, and she was responding to Susan's pets. So I knew there was something about that woman that animals certainly responded to.
Well, what happened that the two of you decided to work together? And you can let Susan answer at any time. She can jump right in any time she wants. What happened there that you decided to work together?
Well, what happened actually is Natalia called me to meet Catherine. I call her Lady Catherine. So we set up a session time, and I came to her house to meet Lady Catherine, and was very, very pleased because I was not rejected. She accepted receiving the Reiki through me, and so then we set up more sessions, and Lady Catherine and I became quite close. And then when Natalia, she started working as a cat behavioralist, and we started working together on some of her cases because she would call me in to see what I thought about some of them, and particularly the cats who had a lot of emotional scarring and emotional issues. we found that they really responded to the Reiki. They really responded to the Reiki.
I guess a lot of people don't think of animals being scarred by emotional issues. But, you know, I know it's possible, but the most people, they just think of them as an animal and that they can't be harmed that way. But you've had a lot of experience with that, haven't you?
Oh, yes. They can go through post-traumatic stress. And, if they're treated badly, they'll withdraw and become scared. What the Reiki does is it's almost like it turns a light on inside them, and they become self-confident, and they just start to blossom, and you see this whole new personality comes out.
That'd be delightful to see that.
Oh, it is. It's a slow, gradual process. It certainly does not happen quickly, but it reaches a point where it starts to snowball, and then you start to really see what's happening, and then, like I said, this wonderful personality comes out, and it's just incredible to watch.
Mm-hmm. An animal communicator on my show, and she has wonderful rapport with all kinds of animals. It's like she can actually communicate with them, and they can communicate back, and they tell her what's wrong with them, and you know. And she has wonderful results with that, but it's more like a mind-to-mind. Do you do that, or is that something different?
That's something different from what I do.
Uh-huh.
And, sometimes I pick up things from them, which are a form of communication, but I'm not that gifted in that area.
Uh-huh. But you mentioned animal communicator, so that's what I was thinking. That's what this woman did, and it's really wonderful when you can have that kind of rapport with animals.
Yes, and I have found it very helpful to consult with animal communicators with some of my clients. It's been very helpful.
They really are out there, even though most people don't realize you can find these people. I have another one that I've had on the show who just communicates with horses. That's the only thing she works with.
Mm-hmm.
And she's able to find out what's wrong with them. Even the veterinarians can't find out. So I think it picks a special kind of person to be really that much in tune with animals. So I think you're in that group anyway. That's what I think. Natalia? Then, as you were working together, what happened that you decided to write the books? Which one of you wrote the books, or did you do it together?
It was a joint undertaking, but I will admit, or Susan will admit, that she's not as gifted a writer as she is a healer, and I'm reasonably good with the written word. So what started out is Susan was writing articles for a Reiki newsletter, and she would pass them by me, and I would help her work with them. And over time, people would say, you know, you really should write a book. You really should write a book. And, I mean, Susan's far too busy to do that. She probably does, I've estimated, probably about a couple of thousand sessions a year with animals. So given that kind of a schedule, she doesn't have time. I mean, she barely has time to do her laundry, let alone write a book. So
I know the feeling.
I'm sure you do.
Is.
So, you know, it just kept building up inside me, this feeling that, yes, she should write a book. There should be a book on this work, because I really felt the contribution she was making was unique and worthwhile, and that the lessons that were being gained out of this work were things that were worthy of being shared. And so I just announced to Susan one day that we were going to write a book. And
what did she say?
She sort of had, well, it's interesting because nobody can boss Susan around or make her do anything. But I think the sort of light go on and the sort of gentle acceptance that maybe indeed it was time and I would be the medium by which the book could get written.
Yeah.
And so basically what we did is we started with the stories we had worked on previously, and I would write them up and she would have a look at them. And then probably about a month later, after I thought the story was completed, she would remember all kinds of other things in a happenstance conversation that had to be woven back in. And we would just work like that, just back and forth until the book unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
It was
These were mostly stories that you were printing in the newsletter.
Well, it started out that way, but more and more of these stories have never been printed before. I mean, never been referred to in any way before. And so Susan, often what would happen is Susan doesn't finish her work till late at night, and we would often get on the phone at that time, and she would tell me about the clients that she was working with. And so that would, in a sense, become my database, especially with clients such as Timmy, a cat that we've written about who had lymphosarcoma. And Susan did a tremendous amount of work with him, but he would send her, in a sense, kind of telepathic pictures of how he was working with his pain and how he was managing his cancer. And
she is receiving the pictures and things, just like an animal communicator.
Well, I believe it's a form of animal communication, even if she doesn't.
Yeah, I think she is without realizing. So she was receiving pictures of how he was dealing with his illness then.
Mm-hmm. And I'll let Susan explain it more. But I should mention that the cover of our book has a cat on it, and the picture of that cat is the spitting image of the cartoon telepathic transmissions that Susan would receive when she worked with him.
I want to say we have a wonderful man who does our covers, and usually they're pretty conventional, or he does them metaphysical or spiritual, but this time he did a delightful cover, and it is very kind of cartoonish.
Yes,
but
it is.
I think it's very nice, really.
Oh, it is delightful.
Always accuse him of getting inside the author's mind somehow, and he always seems to know what's perfect for the cover. And we were surprised when we didn't know how you were going to respond to it. Maybe you would like the idea, but you said it is very much like the cat, then, isn't it? The real cat.
Well, when Natalia showed it to me, she was surprised because I looked at it and I said, "It's Timmy." I said, "That's his cartoon figure that he would show me."
Because I didn't know. I thought you might. Well, this is not dignified to have this kind of a cover, you know? But I think it's delightful, and I think people are going to like it when they see it. But isn't that strange that it is just like the one that was in her mind?
Yeah.
Well, before we get into, I know there's some stories. I want you to tell some of the stories. But how does Susan get her cases? Do people contact her for help, or does she advertise, or what?
My business is mainly word of mouth. And well, when I started, I put some of my business cards in different places. Like there was a flower essence store back then called Self Heal Herbal, and I had some cards in there. And things would happen, like I would get a phone call from someone saying that they had been in the store and they couldn't get away from this card. It just kept following them around. So I took the card home, and it was several months later, but all of a sudden they needed to call me to come visit their cat or their dog, or to visit the cat or dog of a neighbor. And
exactly how we found our cover guy. We needed somebody very badly, and we were doing everything by long distance, and it was not working out. And we went into a convenience store with a bulletin board, and there was this card was hidden under all these other pieces of paper. And I just happened to see it, and it was this man who is now our graphic artist. So sometimes these things are strange, the way they come into our lives, although we know nothing is really a coincidence.
And then,
you don't really advertise then or anything?
Not very much. I found that what advertising I have done has never brought me in any business.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I've had a response to the advertising. What it does is it gives me some visibility, but I really found that it wasn't helping me bring in new clients. It's all word of mouth.
Okay, that's the best kind because it's,
yeah.
you can get good references that way.
Yes, and
but I
prefer
thinking,
to go word of mouth. I prefer
well,
the word
of mouth.
Well,
Natalia said you had done like 1,000 in a year, is that right?
About 2,000. That's a mix of physical visits and distance treatments.
Yeah.
And because there are times I work around the clock, like right now, I have a client who I set my alarm clock, and I get up at 3:30 in the morning, and I send her a distance.
What's that for?
Huh?
What is that for?
She's quite ill right now. She's starting to turn around. She went into a bit of a crash, and I've been working with her for about 6 years. And so what it is just to give her extra support.
Is this one of your clients' animals?
Yes. Well, I consider the animals my clients.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm thinking of the human part.
Yeah.
But you will set the alarm, and then you wake up and do distant healing?
Yeah. I treat her until about 4:30 or 5 in the morning, and then I go back to sleep for a bit.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's all about 2 hours, then, that you're working on her.
Yeah, and I...
Thereabouts. But
yeah,
I
see her during the day as well, and then in the evening I also send her a distance.
Okay. But I think that's pretty good if you're working with that many animals, and just from word of mouth, that means people must really trust you then.
I'm very
but
fortunate.
What about yourself? Doesn't this wear you out?
Yes, I tend to be sleep deprived a lot of the time. But
I mean, does it take energy from you if you're doing it constantly?
The Reiki doesn't take the energy from me. What will tire me out is is when I'm running short on sleep, or the driving. The driving, because the driving gets quite hectic sometimes. That will.
You go to their houses.
Yeah, I go to their houses. They're more comfortable in their own houses, and if they go to sleep afterwards, I would like them to stay asleep and not have them woken up to be put into a car or anything. I also go into veterinary hospitals to visit them as well when they're hospitalized, and or if they're having surgeries.
Sounds like it's a work of devotion.
Well, I consider it a calling. I consider it a calling.
Like you have found something that you really want to do.
Yeah, I've just, since I saw the vision with the business card, I've just gone where it takes me. I'm very much directed by the animals and where the Reiki takes me.
Uh-huh. Well, we just returned from a trip to Dallas, and it was a driving trip. I went down for graduation. But at a rest stop, this one woman, she had this tiny little dog. It wasn't a poodle, but it was one of these real miniature little dogs. And he was out running around. She was trying to keep him out of the way of the cars. And all of a sudden, she just started talking to us. He looked very delightful, but she said, "Yeah, but we're on our way to Dallas. He's going to have heart surgery." And I was thinking, wow, you know, that's a lot for a little dog like that. And she said he was just 2 years old. And I was surprised that they would operate on something that tiny and that young like that.
Veterinary medicine has come a long way.
But one thing, my daughter is very much into energy healing. And while we were talking to her, she put her hands on the little dog, and she was sending him energy, although the owner didn't know what she was doing. She was trying to help, you know, by giving him energy. And she said she could tell that he felt it because he got very quiet. just a tiny little dog. And so, you know, who knows? And she said, well, you couldn't do any harm, that's for sure.
That's right.
Uh-huh. All right, well, let's see. Well, I want to go into some of the stories, but you also work with other, you work with exotic animals too, don't you? Or not?
Sometimes. Mainly I work with dogs and cats, but I have worked with some exotic animals.
Yeah. Because I've always wondered how you could get some of these animals just to lay still long enough so you could do it.
Well, with some of them, it's involved just doing distance Reiki, like when I worked with a python named Feather. I did strictly distance with her. She was in her glass house, and I would go to visit her, and I would sit in a chair beside her glass house and send her distance, and she was quite fascinating because she started when I would come into the room, she would immediately come out and be flicking her tongue and everything, and her people said she was making it clear that she was expecting me.
She could sense you were coming.
Yeah, and she would create optical illusions for me. She had a tree branch in there that she would wind herself around, and it would look like there were two of them in there. Because she'd have herself, it looked like she was going different directions. And I realized she was teasing me. It was her way of playing with me.
She must have been able to pick up on your energy whenever you came
in.
Yeah,
she definitely responded to the energy.
She knew you by your energy.
Yes, she did. She definitely did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead. You said fortunately what?
She was quite lonely. And she no longer received the kind of attention that she did when she was a baby because she was too big by this point to be carried all over the place. And there had to be two of them around if they let her out. Just in case she got startled. And so she had become quite lonely. So the sessions became very important to her.
Mm.
So I worked with her until they moved to another city.
Mm. But here again, I guess people don't think of a snake getting lonely, but I guess anything, you know, everything has emotions, whether we really know it or not.
That's right.
Oh. Natalia, do you want to tell some of the stories, maybe some that are in the book, or pick one off the top of your head that you want to talk about?
Okay. I'd like to talk about a cat called Jeffrey, because Jeffrey was a cat that I worked with first, and then I called Susan in to assist. And when I first saw Jeffrey, my heart just went out to him. He was a white cat. And he had the saddest look on his face because he was wearing a cone all around his head. And the reason he was wearing this plastic cone was because he would self-mutilate. So he would pick out his fur on his body and pull it out with his teeth to the point where the skin was raw. And so
usually when they're wearing that cone, it's because they're being medicated or operated on.
Yes.
You know, to keep them from pulling with it. But this was different, wasn't it?
Yes. In this case, they had to keep his mouth away from the rest of him because he was, basically eating himself. And the problem was that he was an extremely anxious cat, and for good reason. He lived in a very noisy household. There were a number of people in the household, but there was only one who he really had any bond or rapport with. And the rest of them were not only very loud, but they thought it was really kind of funny to poke him when he was asleep or to prod him or tease him in not very nice ways. And So he, the poor cat, he had no privacy, he had no respect, he had no safe place in the house. And so I, seeing this situation, I made a number of recommendations, and one of them was to get him a perch that was high up so he could watch birds, because he did like to watch birds out the window, but also with the rule that when he was in that perch, nobody was allowed to disturb him, so at least he had one safe place that was out of the way that he knew he could be okay in. But the other thing...
I guess it sounds like there were children that were doing this.
Well, unfortunately, these children were in their late teens and early 20s. One would think that people would know better, but obviously they did not.
I was thinking of little kids, but they should have been old enough to know better.
Well, sometimes you have this kind of testosterone surge that happens in young males, and they start to think that it's really quite funny to be mean and pick on little creatures, that this is some kind of proof of manliness. And sometimes in some households, they don't have the boundaries or the guidelines that would suggest otherwise. So anyway, you had this poor cat, and he was being heavily medicated, and he was miserable. And one of the reasons he was miserable is when you wear this cone, a cat senses air currents by his whiskers, and that tells him that he can jump safely or go through a door safely, all of these kinds of things. This poor cat couldn't do any of that because he couldn't sense the air currents. So Susan was called in, and she started to work with him. And very slowly over time, he got to the point where, first of all, he was starting to become far more relaxed. You could see that his face no longer had a worried look. And then they were able to find that they could take his collar off, this big plastic cone collar off, for periods of time, and he wouldn't even touch his skin. He wouldn't barber it. He wouldn't pull it out.
Did the kids leave him alone when he got up on that perch?
Yes, they did. They started to realize that this was serious and that this wasn't funny anymore. So through a combination of sort of re-educating them to respect him a little more, but even more importantly with the Reiki, and Susan went in. I mean, how many times did you go in a week, Susan? Oh, she's showing me four fingers. So she started out with four times a week they would have sessions. And he would start to look forward to them. And he would be fine for a little while after the sessions. And then, of course, he would revert back to his other behavior. And so I think as the sessions built over time, he could be left for periods of time in a more relaxed state for longer and longer periods of time. And I think Susan worked with him probably about a year. And in about a year's time, he no longer needed the cone. He no longer self-mutilated. He was actually quite a happy little pussycat.
Okay, that's wonderful. Because, you know, with that cone, he wasn't even able to clean his fur or anything.
No. And so we were able to get it to the point where they could, you know, remove the cone so he could do a little bit of grooming, remove the cone so he could kind of eat a little better. And, in fact, at one point I found him another kind of a collar that looks like the collar people wear if they have whiplash. And so we were able to get him rigged up in that kind of a collar so at least his whiskers were free and he could smell the breezes.
Okay. I've always heard that their whiskers tell them that they want to go into a small place, a hole or something. It tells them, it's a way of measuring.
Absolutely.
I've heard that they can measure it with their whiskers. They'll know if they can fit in or not.
That's right.
Because the whiskers are the width of their body.
Mm-hmm. And
that's why they're not supposed to get stuck, but, you know, cats sometimes do anyway.
Oh,
but,
don't we all? Don't we all?
Oh, yeah.
Judge.
But, we got some more time. Why don't you tell some more stories then? But that story is in the book, isn't it, about that cat?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
It's just one of my favorite stories.
Tell us about another one then.
Okay, I'm going to hand this over to Susan so she can choose one of her favorites.
Okay. But I was trying to remember which were in the book. You know, we'd had to do the editing, but I edit so many books, it's hard to remember.
Oh,
that's I'm
sure.
That would be, that's your job to tell us stories. Okay,
you
go
bet.
Ahead.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I'll tell you about Timmy, who is on the cover of the book.
Okay.
When I met Timmy, he had just had surgery for lymphosarcoma, and he wasn't recovering very well. And so I was called in, and he responded immediately to the Reiki. His bowels started working again, and he had a feeding tube in at that time. He couldn't eat on his own. And he started being able to eat on his own, and it was just quite dramatic watching the change with him. So I continued working with him, and lo and behold, he started giving me these little cartoon images. And what it was every so often his pain levels would start to build up. And what he would do is he would use the Reiki to release the pain. And if I was doing hands-on with him, it would feel like this bubble going up into my hand, and then I would feel it pop out my elbow.
Oh,
and
okay.
Through distance Reiki, which was his preference, I would get these cartoon images. And if the energy would always feel different that he was trying to release, like sometimes it'd feel really cold, sometimes very hot, sometimes pulsing. And if it was really a hot energy, I would get an image of him dressed up in an outfit, and he would have like a fire extinguisher, and he would be spraying the area down to cool it down. And then he might go and get a bulldozer and get on it and then push this frozen ball that he had made out his side. And so each time would be different what he would show me. And it was quite fascinating. And just as I would see him...
You know, they always tell people, too, to visualize things really in a similar way if they're trying to heal their own bodies. And we try to picture... what we call our defense system, going through
right.
the veins and everything. You always try to, you can visualize them as little soldiers or all kinds of ways, the same thing. So cartoon images do work, and they are effective. So he was showing you very similar to the way people are taught to do it, if you
and
understand what I mean.
Yes.
You
and
know?
Then another time I was doing Reiki with him, and he wasn't Tom. He wasn't in a period of pain during that time. It was just one of our regular sessions. But he gave me this incredible image, which I realized was he was showing me how the Reiki was helping him with the cancer. And what it was I saw an hourglass with the sand in it. And the sand was almost running out, and then this wave of blue, which is how I see Reiki. This wave of blue came in and pushed some of the sand back up into the top of the hourglass. And this would go on until the hourglass was almost full, and then the sand would start running out again. And
what do you think that represented?
Well, what he was saying was that the Reiki was helping him slow down the progression of time.
Oh. Okay. Now, I'm trying to put the image together. The progression of time for him, or what?
Yes, for the speed of the cancer.
The connection there. Okay, that's what you mean?
Yeah, the speed of the cancer. And so it was giving him more time. More time to be alive.
Okay. So, did he eventually recover?
No, he eventually did die. But the interesting thing, I was going to say, the interesting thing of that, though, is that the normal length of life expectancy after a diagnosis of lymphosarcoma in a cat is between 6 to 9 months tops.
And I believe that Timmy lived for, what, about 4 years, Susan?
5 years.
5 years after his diagnosis. So, I mean,
wow.
Here you are with a cat, and you're told your cat has 6 to 9 months to live, and instead you have the gift, and he has the gift, of 5 years of life.
Hmm. But you were able to make him comfortable, too, so he wouldn't be
Dolores,
in pain.
He didn't look sick. He didn't look sick. He'd be running around and playing, and he had a wonderful quality of life.
You know, because I always think, what's the use of prolonging the life if they're going to be in pain for the whole time? But he did get better then, didn't he?
Yes, he had a wonderful quality of life. He would have these episodes where he would have this buildup of pain energy, which was then when I would get the cartoons. But those weren't an ongoing thing. They'd come after, you know, a couple of months. And then after a few days, we get it all cleared out again. He would work very hard. And then he would be fine again, and he'd be running around playing again, back to being Timmy. And he had a wonderful life, actually.
Because that did make a difference then. Okay.
Yes.
I think you're doing wonderful work. And this is a different way of looking at it. I think a lot of people wouldn't realize what you can do with energy and healing. I know you can do it on people, but it is just the use of energy in a positive way. That's what I've always thought of, like energy healing. Natalia, I think, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but what did you start to say?
I was about to say that Reiki is very passive modality, and really the practitioner is just giving the receiver access to it. And like with Timmy, all that work was between him and Reiki. I just gave him the access, and I got the privilege of witnessing what he did with it.
Uh-huh.
And so just a testament to what people could do, too, if they really wanted to. With the energy work.
Yeah, but they believed in it and it was possible.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize it is possible to help people with energy healing.
That's right.
But right now, how many animals are you working with at the present time?
Oh, right now. I have to think here.
It's so much a part of your life, I guess you don't stop to count them and think about it.
No, I don't. Because there are some that I just see
like
once.
4 hours, you're working on different ones at different times?
Yeah. I'm probably working with about 10 actively. And then there's several others that where they're not daily or weekly. So anyway,
okay.
It ends up being full time. I probably do 5 appointments a day, and they're all a minimum of an hour. Like those are physical appointments, and then I do a lot of distances.
Uh huh.
I do distances when I'm driving.
The people contact you and they want you to work on the different their animals then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But that leaves where you don't have much time to take on any new clients then, do you?
Well, I either find a way to fit them in, or it's not very often that it happens that I get an urgent call where I need to ask them to go someplace else. And I do have a couple of people who I really trust who I allow to work with my animals, with my pets.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
So I will refer them to them. But it's very rare that happens. Usually what happens is when someone needs to have me come in to work with their pet, an opening has come up because somebody has recovered or made their transition or moved away. And so the opening is there.
Okay, because
it's all worth
I was thinking it sounds like you are doing so much, you know, all the, you know, 24 hours. That takes a lot out of you to do that, I would think. But you said that not the Reiki, it's just...
it's more the sleep deprivation and sometimes having if mine are sick, then of course I'm up with them, giving them extra time too. So.
Well, I know when I invited both of you to come to the Transformation Conference, you said that was going to be a problem for you, Susan, didn't you?
There's always a problem if I have to be away too long, because all of mine are special needs. They all have health conditions and need to be monitored and that. But I've got them covered for that weekend.
But you said you had the other people you trusted that they could take over for you.
Like for short term, like care, if I'm not there, then that's okay. But if I'm gone for longer periods, it wouldn't work very well. But in terms of trusting them to come in and work with my animals, sometimes with my pets, I need to get them a little extra help beyond myself. And so I'm there when these people come in and work with them.
But like while you're going to be down here for a few days, you can still work with them at a distance, can't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'll still be doing I'll be doing a lot of distance when I'm down
there. Where you are then, you do it at a distance.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'll be still covering my clients and covering my pets in terms of their Reiki needs when I'm at the conference.
Okay, because I know you said you couldn't stay for the entire thing because you were worried about the animals.
But the challenge
that shows you're a very special spirit, a very special person. Both of you are, really. She has to devote your life like that to the animals.
The challenge with Susan's animals and her being sort of physically apart with them has a lot to do with the physical and medical challenges that they face. So while she can provide for their Reiki needs and stuff, there are things like medications and things like that that have to be carefully administered. But we have the bases coming, and we're so looking forward to coming to the Transformation Conference and sharing our stories.
Well, we're coming up to time to stop. But Natalia, will you tell people how they can contact you if they want to have more information or want to have you help with their pets? How should people contact you?
Okay. Well, there are a couple of different ways they can do that. They can certainly contact Susan at her business telephone number, which is area code 780-417-5000, and that's the official Reiki for Pets line. Or alternatively, if people want to contact us by email, they can do so at Crawmack, that's K-R-A-W, M as in McDonald, A-C, at yahoo.ca.
That's a combination of the two of your names.
Yes,
Susan,
it is.
Mack, yeah, Natalia Krawitz, you put it together on your website, your email. Give the email out again.
Okay, it's Crawmack, K-R-A-W-M-A-C, at yahoo.ca.
Okay. And that means for Canada. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And, I think you're both doing wonderful work. And the name of the book is My Teachers Wear Fur Coats. And it's about their experiences using Reiki on animals. And the book should be out in time for the conference, which will be next month. And by that time, it'll be on Amazon and the bookstores, but it takes it a while after it comes out to make the route. But if anybody wants any more information about the book or about the Transformation Conference, you can contact my website, Ozark Mountain, OZARKMT.com. our 800 number, 1-800-935-0045. And the conference, again, is June 16th and 17th, Saturday and Sunday, at the Clarion Inn in Fayetteville. Okay, ladies, I'm going to have to sign off, but I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Bye. Good night, everybody.